The following episode of Footy Prime the Podcast contains violence, coarse language, talking of shite, full frontal nudity, and adult scenes. Listener discretion is advised. BetMGM, the place for soccer in Canada, presents Footy Prime.
Oh, let's go!
Footy, footy, it's time to get this party started. It's the footy, footy, it's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, Andy, Jim, and JC. All we know and all we talk about is footy, footy. It's time to get this party started tonight.
Rachel.
Was that the last? Oh.
No.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We're rolling. We're recording.
Oh, you're rolling. Okay.
We're always rolling. Yeah.
BetMGM, the place for soccer in Canada, presents Footy Prime. It's coming. It's coming closer and closer and closer.
Sharms, our social media manager last night put up the Swiss roster. I know I interrupted, but it got some hits on Twitter. I just kind of went, the social media manager said at the end, are you feeling it? Is it becoming real to you? Like, to your point. Sorry. And that's why.
No, that's quite right. It's Footy Prime. We always interrupt each other. Speaking of being interrupted, Jimmy Brennan is about to jump aboard. We didn't think Jimmy was showing up, but here he is.
We didn't know.
Hey,
surely his audio is not going to work.
No.
Look at him.
Jimmy, just wake up. Wake up.
I know. And Wonger,
did you fall asleep in the sun yesterday?
Jimmy can't hear us, can he?
No, he can't. See? Predictably.
Yeah.
There might be some static
there. His face might be...
Can you hear us, Jimmy?
Yeah, I can hear you now. What were you guys saying? As soon as I logged in, you guys were all laughing.
There you go. Jimmy.
With you just woke up.
Yeah. Or we if you're not watching this on our video, because it's not available on our video, that you fell asleep in the sun. What's going on there? Did you go to Ottawa and run the marathon yesterday?
Yes, I was outside over the last number of days.
Did you wear sunscreen?
Am I bronzed? No.
You're not lazy, put it that way. That's good.
Were you Magda and Something About Mary with the tinfoil near her face so you catch all of the UV rays?
Yeah, pretty much. That's why I had to ask you the other day, give me some sunscreen.
Mm-hmm. And I did. And Sharon was like, you're such a mom. And I was like, yes, I am. I had everything in my backpack.
Yeah, my face was melting.
You put it on, though.
Exactly. So as we're talking about, the World Cup is getting closer and closer. Cam's in camp. We'll get to that shortly. Now the World Cup trophy is making its rounds. It was in Ottawa this weekend and apparently it's in Toronto today. So my question is, people get really excited about trophy tours, really excited. It could be Premier League. They could be World Cups, whatever they are. And big crowds come out. There's lineups down the street. I'm curious, do any other podcast and our listeners too really care about such things? Do you want to see the World Cup in person, or we've seen it enough times, said, meh, don't really give a shit?
I don't know. I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why not?
Are you going today to see it?
It's a 12-minute walk for Craig if he wanted to. Yeah. 12 minutes. Maybe eight. Maybe if he's walking fast and he doesn't stop for a coffee.
I'm not criticizing, honestly. I mean, I understand why people would find it exciting. I do, 100%, be it a Premier League, be it a Champions League trophy tour, be it a World Cup. I get it. Not for me, though, personally. I'm not going to line up. I'm not going to line up for anything, actually. Not even a doctor's appointment. All right? So maybe that's just me. I hate lineups.
Yeah.
I probably should. That lump's not going anywhere.
Molly, 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 molly.
Do you care about such things, Dubs? Would you line up to see a trophy?
No, I don't. But I'm also of the mind that if you're trying to drum up support and interest and energy and hype, then yes, get plugged into anything that's going to do that. So if it's you're the casual fan, or you're really pumped about the World Cup coming to Canada, and you just recognize that it's maybe a once in a lifetime thing, and this is the trophy that's attached to it, and you want to be a part of it in some small way, then I understand it. Is it for me? No. And that might just be because I grew up playing sports, got the opportunity to play it at a high enough level. So I think you kind of put the blinders on and you just get down to the work. And if you're lucky enough to touch it by way of your success and your work and your results, then great. But otherwise, I'm not really interested.
I think it's more about Coca-Cola than it is the World Cup.
Yes.
But I'm excited. I'm actually going today to go see it.
Were you invited?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why.
Are you doing something? Paid? Do you have a role? Yeah.
No role. I'm just going to go see it. And I think because it's the World Cup that gets handed out once every 4 years. Mm-hmm. And we see it on TV. I've never seen it up close, and I would love to see it up close because it's probably the most iconic trophy in the world.
Are you going to touch it? Are you going to get a really, no. really intimate kiss?
No,
it?
You never touch anything that you don't win.
See, there Mark you go. Connie
did.
So
Mark Carney did. I didn't like that, actually. I saw that. I don't like seeing politicians with their greasy hands all over it. Different.
What do you mean, Forrest?
I think people touch it all the time. It's not one of those types of things would you see with the Stanley Cup, for instance.
Would you touch it and kiss it?
Oh, I just cuddle with it.
Craig, stop turning on and off your thing because it keeps clicking in. We can hear it.
Oh, sorry. Just
no problem. But don't fart is the other thing. Oh, that fart in.
He's going to start blowing up.
I don't know if Charms, Jimmy, or Craig would have remembered that they used to bring in, and I think they still do, they used to bring in the Stanley Cup to Sportsnet. And I'm not a hockey guy. I couldn't care less, but it was a giant thing for everybody to take a picture with it. Now, there were two reasons, I think. Obviously, we're Canadian, and that was a big deal to be around it. But the other thing was it's big. You know, after all these years, after all the different rings around it, it has... There's like it's iconic, and not saying that the frame of the, you know, the shadow of the World Cup is. Why are you laughing?
I'm laughing at Charms.
I'm looking at Dubs and looking at Jimmy, and I know what they're thinking.
Oh, that I'm an idiot? What?
No, just you're just so juvenile. Just keep going.
Oh, okay. We are juvenile, but yes, so that's really, a given.
Yeah, probing thoughts from Wonger.
Oh, okay, but
I came out your ring.
I'll show you a trophy. Yeah.
Yeah, big rings.
They are blue moon. I think that it doesn't have the same. I think it is cool, but I don't know if it has that kind of scale that makes it as cool on a pure. Hey, I need to get a picture with that. I mean, we've seen the World Cup in people's hands. It's kind of like Martinez when he got the goalkeeper thing. You basically want to turn it into, you know, a projectile from your groin. That is what it looks like. And I'm not saying it, but it's really, I would rather line up, Charms, for the Cristiano Ronaldo statue, the bust of his face, where he's like this.
Right.
I love that thing because that is iconic to me.
That was really
good. Oh, thanks, pal.
But thank no, you. You're right, though. I mean, it is cool. And if I didn't need to line up for it, I'd be, of course, get a picture with it. That's I get it. It's just, would you go to the Louvre in Paris to see the Mona Lisa? Would you be like transfixed by it? We all know what it looks like. We've seen prints of it. But seeing the actual real thing, would that do it for you?
I've been there. I've done that.
And
yeah, so have I.
And overwhelming.
Wonderful. I'm glad I did.
Okay.
Not overwhelming. Yeah.
It's small, right? Isn't it much smaller than you'd think?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I wasn't elbowing my way to the front to get a picture of it because it's like when you see a beautiful moon outside, and I always try to tell this to my kids, like the picture that you take of the moon, unless you're using one of these professional cameras, is going to be underwhelming. So you want to just take it in, and it I think goes hand in hand with our culture. Like you look up like these events that don't allow people to record videos, whether it's concerts or some other event, and you're actually taking it in yourself. You're in the moment. That's what I tried to do when I was at the Louvre, and it was ages ago when I was there. We were in France for a national team game. We took a couple of days afterwards, and we went and we saw all the sights, and this was part of it. But there's still like a throng of people, you know, 15 or 20 deep around the Mona Lisa. So you want to go and you want to get a glimpse yourself, see it with your own eyes, but kind of take it in without having a shitty picture of it. So that the tale that you then tell about it is way better than a crappy picture. So maybe that's what the appeal is with the World Cup. It's just like getting up close. You might have the memento of it, but you can say that I was up close to this really iconic thing.
Mm-hmm. That's like I feel when I'm beside Craig.
Me too. Mm-hmm. I was in the shadow of Craig Forrest.
Iconic thing.
Yes. Well, hopefully just Forrest himself, not his iconic thing.
Well.
Forrest is like, my mic is on.
Yeah. My mic is on. Giant shadow.
My mic is very erect.
Look at the boom on that mic.
Boy, Monday morning, we are starting off on fire today. Oh, no, I hope you, those going down to see it today or so on the weekend, that's cool. I hope you enjoy it. And I'm not criticizing it. It's just, I just hate lining up. That's what it comes down to, I think, probably, for anything.
Yeah.
Okay, so listen, as the World Cup, it kicks into high gear this week, I think, because we have camps officially opening up. The league seasons are behind us, pretty much. So our plans, we should talk about what we're doing for the World Cup a little bit.
We should. Maybe. It's a great idea.
Right? So we're all going to be very busy. Mm-hmm. Very busy, including on Footy Prime duty. So every day, in fact, you'll be getting a podcast from us starting, I mean, it's pretty much every day now, but really starting on the 8th. That's what we're thinking right now.
2 weeks.
Right. We may have 2 weeks from today. About this. Yeah. And this might, right now it's a daily podcast. It could be 20 minutes. It could be 1 hour. We may have more information about that in the days to come. But yes, we'll be having in-depth Footy Prime World Cup look aheads, look backs, all the big stories. We might break it into several podcasts. We don't know quite yet, but every day, if you want some World Cup conversation, the way we do things, you will have that first thing in the morning, taping probably around the same time as this. So we look forward to that. Jimmy, what are you doing outside of us?
Well, I will be working with One Soccer. And also with TSN.
So doing games with TSN?
Yeah.
Cool. Do you know with whom? Are you allowed to say?
Not sure with whom yet.
Okay. And by that, we're not saying Ian Hume.
We just don't know.
That'd be cool.
Right.
Wonga, you're going to be very busy.
Yeah, well, there's a few things going on. The match days in Toronto, we're going to be working with the Toronto Star and Soccer City. Craig actually is kicking off our partnership with the Toronto Star on Thursday. He's going to be doing a full virtual. You can see it, a virtual Q&A with some of the journalists from the Star, which is amazing. And then JC and I.
Information, star.com/soccercity. Check it out. A virtual panel on Thursday, including Craig. Should be a great conversation. So check it out. Free to sign up for the star.com/soccercity.
I signed up.
Soccer City.
Oh, I like that. That's very Montrealais. Oui, j'aime ça. So then, through this new partnership, we'll be, JC and I are hosting at Earl's on King Street. So we'll send out all that information to get people to come down. It should be a blast. JC and I, and hopefully you guys come over. Dubs is going to be able to make her way down to Earl's a couple times, I hope. Mm-hmm. But if basically we're going to be, if you remember what we did with the Star. If you remember what we did with the Star 4 years ago, we had a viewing party down at the Rec Room. We had a great time. About 400 to 500 people on two of the big day matches. And so we'll be doing the same thing with all six home Toronto matches, not Canadian, but all the matches in Toronto. So should be a blast. We're super excited. Going to pull in all our Footy Prime supporters, as many as we can, and all of our Footy Prime crew, and hopefully raise a glass after every match. So there you go. Six of them.
And if you haven't had a chance to be an event where Wonga and JC host it, you need to go down there. It's they're actually in their natural environment.
I don't they know really if they are. Know what they're in for.
It'll be a good time.
It will
better be than good. Seeing the World Cup, that's for sure.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. Okay, Dubsy, what are you doing during the World Cup?
I'm doing some stuff in studio for Sportsnet, some stuff for One Soccer, like Jimmy, throughout the World Cup, and also some CBC in studio stuff for their digital side off the back of the Canada matches. So like a live in studio reacts. And then the Footy Prime stuff, anytime I can head down to Earls and join JC and Wonger. But I'll be in the city. Aren't I doing something else?
Yeah.
No, Sportsnet, One Soccer.
Oh, sorry. I didn't hear the Sportsnet part, honestly. I was texting my wife. Sorry.
Yeah. Stop doing that, please.
Again.
Again. Listen, I can't really listen. Craig?
Working for the host broadcasts for FIFA. First five games in Toronto, and then the round of 32 and round of 16 in Seattle, of all places.
Wicked.
And then a little bit of CBC, maybe some Sportsnet.
So your dulcet tones maybe not across the world.
Yeah. I mean, basically what it means, I think, Craigor, is that if someone is watching a match in Malaysia but wants to watch it in English, and they're watching the FIFA international call that you're actually doing color on, that will be your voice, right, all across the world.
Yeah. So even for here. Example would be, well, in Canada, the first game, Canada-Bosnia, you wouldn't hear me in Canada. You might in Australia or England or Scotland or New Zealand.
So this is a great opportunity, right, to just sneak in Footy Prime. Right? Like you say, hey, I love this game, Footy. Prime example. You push.
Very well done.
Thank you. You push Footy Prime all over the world without them knowing. So FIFA, you got a problem with Craig Forrest. Just warning you.
And this is the only time that you can say appropriately, are you watching Craig on the FIFA?
Oh,
they're at the FIFA. Right. This would be the only occasion where that is correct.
Yes, exactly. Thank you for that.
Mm-hmm. The other games, for instance, if you're watching Ghana against Panama in Canada, I'm sure that would be broadcast here.
Yeah.
I mean, TSN would probably do everything they can not to have me on because that's what their MO is, but.
Oh, jeez.
JC, 1704.
I don't really give a fuck. I don't give a fuck.
Steer away quickly. Away.
Didn't you just do something for them? Something? With them?
Yeah, the reveal, the squad reveal. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
The precursor to the squad or the preview.
This Friday. Yeah. I think anybody who's in the right mind who understands how you link together previous generations, you get credible people who are experts of the game and are contextually important to the coverage of Canada would have you on. That is all I'll say about it.
Yeah. Common sense, isn't it?
Yep. And the dulcet tones, because Craig Forrest was on with broadcast person Signe Butler, and we're big fans of Sigs. So Siggy's and Forrest were covering an NSL game at the weekend, and so there are a lot of people in that little kind of sphere of women's soccer who maybe aren't as familiar or well versed in Craig Forrest and who he is, and also his expertise on the call. People are like, oh my god, like, he's such a pleasure to listen to, like his voice, the way he invites you in, the way he talks about the game. So
his big
fans of yours, Craig Forrest,
his shady unit.
Thanks.
It's as if you ex players like know a thing or two about the game and can talk about it.
Yeah,
imagine that. Okay, so that's good. I'm on Sportsnet duty. I'll be on the Robo Canada. I'm starting actually this week with the squad announcement. Roster reveal. Can we just call it a squad announcement?
Roster reveal.
So there's been some sensational roster reveals, right?
Oh,
like that England one, watchable over and over again. Incredible. And then I was also thinking the U.S. men's national team are in for trouble when you can't even keep your roster secret. The Guardian got the roster. So who's sending these out on an email? Because that's what happened, right?
I think it's hey players
guys. Leaking. Well, yeah. Pot is no, having it's conversations not a,
it's not a player. The player, that's part of it. They got the full, the Guardian says we got a full roster. Like, it's not just someone saying, hey, Amy's making the team.
Yeah, you're right. But a lot with England, for example, we kind of knew what it was the day before because a couple of the guys that weren't picked were really, really pissed off. And so I think it's the ones that aren't picked often will go to their media buddies or the people they use in the media to get their kind of opinions across. And then by the process of elimination, oh, well, Harry Maguire's not there. And then you go down the line that way, I think.
Yeah, but, and then you make your inferences from there.
Yeah, yeah, I think so. But you're right, they're amazing reveals, though. Canada's will be on TSN. I believe it will be, it's prime time, right? I think on Friday, it's late.
I believe so, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Jimmy, are you on that one?
No.
All right.
No.
We'll let that go.
Will there be a One Soccer, though? Will there be a One Soccer reaction show, presumably?
Yes.
Yes, I thought so. We will also have a reaction, something or other, somehow, at some time. Probably that night. Probably. there aren't actually that many. I mean, listen. They've announced a 30-man squad that's down there right now.
They did.
This morning.
Yeah.
All right. So we can get into some of that if you like. But very quickly, the weekend that was, the drama that we expected in the Premier League isn't quite what we anticipated. West Ham did what they had to do, a bit late. Although, didn't I hear correctly that since January, West Ham was the 8th best team in England? How
that
bad was
count
the
for nothing.
30 games of the season. Yeah. Wow. And Spurs just stave off relegation at the end. Man, they were celebrating as if they won the World Cup. Now, I know they're happy. Some of those smiles in their faces, Jimmy, are like, guys, you should be relieved, of course, and of course you should be happy, but let's settle down a little bit here.
They were definitely relieved, that's for sure. I think the fans were, but at the same time, when you're at Spurs, which is a big club, there's expectations, and for them to finish where they did, I'm sure a lot of those players will be gone this summer. So all the smiling and everything that went on, I think a lot of them are looking, going, you're out, you are out, you're gone.
Time's the bus out.
Bye, yeah. Everybody. We're cleaning house. Everybody must go.
Yeah. I was on social media a bit, and it did seem that people wanted Spurs to go down more than West Ham.
Yes.
So yeah, I got that feeling too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's just me looking, like doing some doom scrolling. But when West Ham finished, that was the other thing. West Ham finished their match earlier. Not much, like 5 minutes.
And maybe
minutes,
as good as right? they've looked with a really decisive victory. Mm-hmm. And they have to watch when it's out of their control. But they've put themselves in that position, right?
Yeah, that Callum Wilson goal was beautiful. Just a beautiful goal. But yeah, I think people wanted Spurs to go down because people are really, generally speaking, assholes. They want the big story as opposed, I mean, forget the hundreds of people losing their jobs overnight at that club. It's a huge club that they've gone down, you know, and what's happening behind the scenes. The same happening at West Ham, but Spurs is a huge, huge club. The people are assholes.
Yeah, do you know what? I think with Spurs, they just rub people the wrong way, don't they?
Yeah.
I mean, even remember when that Super League was coming out and Spurs are there and you're like, how the fuck are Spurs there? Like, how are you guys there? They put themselves into this category that they're a huge monster club. But you haven't won much throughout your history.
It's so on brand, though.
How are you that big?
Like, for a Spur to rub you the wrong way?
What's that?
Right, Jimmy? A Spur will rub you the wrong way.
It's it would hurt.
Jagged edges, yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You don't want to be rubbing against a Spur, that's for sure.
Nope.
No.
But I mean, West Ham, Craig, I mean, look at this club playing. I mean, they've been relegated before, but just what's the noise off the pitch there with the stadium, the in-game experience? It's just, you wonder, are they going to fill that place in the league championship next year? You hope that they can figure this thing out, but you do see these stories, teams spiraling. And that could be the case at West Ham if the fans don't support them.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens. I mean, they reported over £100 million loss last season. It's going to be more this season. And then you're relegated. Your TV money's going to go down considerably. You got the parachute payment. Obviously, they're going to be able to outspend the mass majority of the championship. But doesn't guarantee anything. We've seen that before. Most teams do fairly well with a parachute payment and compete, but yeah, they're going to, I mean, what happens is there's a bunch of players that were signed for pretty big contracts. What are they going to do with those? I think we'll see a lot of changes in the offseason. I mean, Bowen. Yeah,
Jared Bowen was asked some tough questions in the post-match press conferences, and he speaks really well. He's saying it's disrespectful to speak about the future, he says, right now. Because he knows he's not going to be there.
Probably not the right time, but...
No. But there's no way he stays. And he's a good captain, and I'm sure he would be up for the fight if he wasn't sold. He's one of those guys, it seems. But you think he's going to be first out the door to the highest bidder. Mm-hmm.
He signed a 7-year contract, right? So
was it 7 years?
You know, but
isn't he dating
the amount of money they're going to get for him? He probably will be on the selling.
Didn't he marry or is dating or is the owner's daughter or something?
No, what's his name? The actor. Oh,
Sean Connery.
Danny Dyer.
Oh, is that what it is?
It's his
big West Ham fan. Big West Ham fan.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So that shouldn't have much relevance to him whether he stays or not, I wouldn't think.
No.
That makes me feel really old, actually, that Danny Dyer's daughter married Jared Bowen. You know, and you get to that point in your sports loving career, you guys may not know as much because you actually were playing, but well, no one knows this. When the players you watch and revere are suddenly younger than you are, there's a moment. Now it's like the coaches are younger than I am.
Oh, God. And, yeah, but that's new.
Owners.
Oh, that's new. Yeah. That's like the last 15 years that they've transitioned to these 30-year-old, and that's across all sports, 30, 35-year-old coaches, head coaches, and said, we need strategy guys. We don't just need old school, old players. So it's quite interesting to me that all of a sudden you see that across all the leagues. You see 35-year-old NFL coaches. The only one that's 30-year-old top managers, 40-year-old top managers. That never was seen. Like, remember when we were growing up, Craiger? I know we're the oldest. It was all old, grizzled John Madden type guys, right? Now it's young, great looking. They all look alike, either great shaved heads or they like they're like Conte. They go to Turkey and get a good head of hair. They're one way or the other, right? And they're all young, dress great. Remember the old, like, look at Bill Belichick. I know he's pulling 20-year-old women, but do you see what he...
Gross.
He has a nice smile.
His stupid cutoff sleeves. Need somebody your own age.
But they were all like Bill Belichick, right? Bill Parcells was an overweight dude. There were a bunch of these larger, unattractive men who were coaches.
Okay, how old was Bill Parcells, though, when he was coaching and winning Super Bowls? I bet he's younger than you think.
29. Well,
no, yeah, but he wasn't. People he wasn't older. 30.
They looked older back in those days.
Yeah, they did. They did. Like they, Carol O'Connor, like yeah, All in the Family, Archie Bunker.
Are the Golden Girls?
Yeah, Golden Girls are our age right now. God.
Thank you for being a friend.
Rue McClanahan back again. Rue McClanahan.
England's World Cup winning team in 66, and they're going through each player and the close up, right? And their age, and like, oh my God, they look like they're 10 years older than they actually are. Mm. More than that, perhaps.
It was the celebrations, too, back then when they scored. It was like that little skip jump and the one hand up.
Yeah, it's true, isn't it?
Made them look older.
Yeah, and they broke their ankle when they landed because they were all osteoporotic.
Yeah, no flips back then.
No knee sliding.
I've got rickets.
When I came over on the boat, we had a lack of vitamin D and C.
That's what Jimmy said at the Canada training. I've got rickets. To say rickets.
That's right.
Okay. Where are we? Oh, you know, the image of the weekend, though, was for me, was Liam Miller with the Canadian flag at Wembley.
Yeah.
Celebrating his promotion to the Premier League. How cool was that? And just seeing the emotion on those players' faces. And he arrived, was it late last night or early this morning? I saw a video at camp. And it's just cool. We got a Premier League player, guys. Our favorite league.
Finally.
I know.
Finally.
It's been a while, isn't it?
Yeah. The social media manager sent everybody the Liam Miller little video on IG, and I'll describe it, but basically it's one of his coaches saying, you're going to the World Cup, and now you're in the Premier League. And I just, and he puts his hand out over his face. And it, to be honest, it reminded me of how, Craig, how emotional you were when Canada finally qualified in 2022 against Jamaica with Arash Madani giving you that opportunity to talk. It must be overwhelming to like, because you're playing as a team and then you recognize, oh man, this is me too.
Yeah, you know, and it's just so massive. And the pressure is building up to that final, which is a championship final, playoff final, is like worth, you know, potentially, if you stay in the Premier League, it could be worth £250 million. Like, it's just a massive thing. So you're feeling that pressure all the time leading up to the game. And it's just a release that you finally did it. And because you know the other way, if you lose it, it's just devastating because you're so close and you let it slip away. So you can see where he's coming from that standpoint, and the fact that you've just qualified for the Premier League and you're in it is a massive thing to be in that league for Liam Miller and Hull City,
but also for the individual. Congrats. Like the personal journey and all the hardships along the way, recovering from that ACL, doing his hamstring as he comes back. As we often see, right? This is a common theme, unfortunately, with our men's national team. But I think the fact that it's Liam Miller, not that it means more, I think we'd be celebrating any Canadian who has kind of gained promotion, worked hard to kind of gain their ticket, that entrance, their berth into playing for the Premier League. But this is really well earned for Liam Miller, the person Liam Miller, the footballer. Mm-hmm. So like to see him with that Canadian flag, like even I got emotional. Like this is the type of thing that you want. And this is what, talking about, you know, lining up to see the World Cup trophy, like this is what inspires perhaps the next generation. If you don't get a chance to see your national team play at home in a World Cup, you're like, I'm going to watch a Canadian, even though, you know, the whole family, like you saw him with his dad in the stands, like how emotional that was, all the players celebrating with their families. But like they picked up and they moved when he was a really young kid, picked up the roots and made new ones in England. So he obviously still has ties and Canada is still so important and meaningful for him. But like, I think really important that it is Liam Miller. Like I'm just thrilled for him.
Mm-hmm. Former Red.
One thing he'll miss the, I'm sure they'll have a little parade in Hull. That's probably happening today. Mm. So he will miss out on that, which is obviously a big deal and a lot of fun with the teammates. Right. So that's unfortunate because he flew right out. He stayed in London, got a flight out, right? Mm-hmm. Straight into camp.
Yeah, must have. You mean he won't be doing the Marc Gasol, never drinking before and then drinking 6 quarts while he's on the parade?
That's right.
In Toronto for the Raptors.
Yeah.
Congrats to our very own Tiger Sammy of Footy Prime listener fame, who sees his team back in the Premier League. He reminded us that he is still alive this weekend, and we knew you were alive. Of course, we did. And we're going to hear a lot from you, I think, the next few months. He's been around for a long time as Tiger Sammy. So that's it's great news. It's wonderful news. A Hull parade. I mean, there's probably an amazing joke there somewhere. I don't know what it is. What's a Hull parade like, Jimmy?
I don't know. When you said Tiger Sammy, I was like, he's great.
That's what I was thinking, too.
That's great, though. It's actually great. Yeah. So in the Prem now, I believe transfer embargo is suspended now, so they can sign players this summer. I believe they had some financial issues the last couple of years, so they missed a couple of windows there, I believe. But yeah, the manager loves Liam Miller. So when the manager says, Wunga, you're going to the World Cup and the Premier League, does that mean that he's got the older, he thinks Liam Miller might make the squad? Hasn't been announced yet.
Yeah, I don't know. There seems to be I think we already started making a list, didn't we? Dubs and Charms were on the dark web, the Footy Prime dark web, making their list. And I asked, can you guys just say who's not going to be on? Because I know who the top 30 would probably be, and that's me. And I'm in the bubble, but not as much as you guys are in the bubble. So if I can name 25, 30 players. My big question is, how many people are they bringing who are coming off an injury? And I'm going to name them, and you guys can go yes, no, maybe.
Yeah, so remember, it's 30 into this camp, and then the yes, 30 is into the camp.
So yeah, yeah. I'm just going to name it off the top and add if you also. So Ralph Prizo had a goal for Vancouver, but hurt himself.
Much to Brian White's chagrin.
Yes.
Yeah, I know.
Took away his hat trick, but I loved it. And the guys loved it too. They're like, what are you doing? But
so screw you.
Yeah.
And then Mueller came up during his interview and go, you should bring him. I thought that was great.
It must make Ralph cringe though. Do you see, look at his face. He's like, oh, shut up, Thomas. I'm a young kid. I'm just broken through the camera.
Yeah.
He doesn't just do it once. He does it like three times. He's like, okay, like enough already.
Alfonso Davies had a little cryptic thing on his tag saying, hey, I don't know what it meant, but also said, looking forward to playing in front of our home fans. So that's number. So how many injuries? So that's Alfonso.
That was erased. That tweet was deleted.
I saw that. Yes. Mm. Moyes Bumbito still coming off of, and I heard he's looking good. Is Sam Adekube there?
No.
Who am I missing out of those big three?
Alfie Jones.
Alfie. That was the other one.
Richie Larea?
Richie. Well, yeah.
Promise David.
In weeks.
Promise David, yeah.
It does. I mean, listen, they've extended this announcement. They hope to do it earlier than this. They've extended.
Tell the story about that. What was the, how far did they push it back? And why did they push it back?
They never had an official day per se.
What was your insight on it, though? What did you think?
I thought it would be around the 24th, 25th being announced.
Right. And why didn't they?
I'm trying to fucking say.
Why is he probing you so much?
Because he's...
Just let me talk here.
Answer the question. You can't handle the truth.
Can we bring up the light on Charm so he's like sweating?
Yeah. They want to give Promise... Speaking of lights, that's better. They want to give Promise and Moyes, all those guys, as long as possible to make the squad. Yeah. And they want to see them at training as long as possible, have their medical staff take a close look. And that's why it's being pushed to the 29th, this Friday. But they're all there in this camp, which bodes really well. But as far as, you know, I mean, Dubs and I, my squad, very similar. All the squads, these mock rosters squads you see, they're all so similar. There's two or three guys... could go either way, right? But of note, I think maybe the most interesting thing is that James Pantemis isn't there. And then it's the three goalies are Owen Goodman and Max and Dane. By the way, Max and Dane, again, this weekend conceded a bucket load of goals. Craig, it's got to be a bit of a concern, hasn't it? I mean, I know they're making big saves and it's not all on them. I get that. But Jesus Christ, the mindset of your top two goalkeepers coming in, it can't be great, can it?
No, it's not. And even Portland, they conceded three as well. So between Pantemis, Crapo, and Sinclair, they conceded 13 goals on the weekend. So I know they're with three teams that don't bother defending either, right? So, but it's not ideal. Not ideal.
But it does seem, though, that it's going to be Goodman as the third stringer at the World Cup. Jesse Marsh is meeting with the media later today, this afternoon. We'll ask him that question about his idea. I mean, Pantemis has been the best of the bunch this season, hasn't he? Goodman's been good, in fairness. Hasn't played a ton, though, in the last few weeks. On loan, though.
No, you know, and he's playing third tier in England. Mm-hmm. You keep talking about he's Crystal Palace Premier League owned. Yeah, he is, but he's not playing for Crystal Palace. He's playing in the third tier. Yeah, he's 22. That's probably the big point. Pantemis is pushing 30, 31, mm-hmm. something like that. So that's the only reason there. And probably that they haven't given chances to Pantemis in the past, and we're past the point of no return, I think, where they've already made their decision on their goalkeepers. But he's got to feel pretty disappointed of not being part of the squad. Has to be. Because he is probably playing as well as any of the three MLS goalkeepers right now.
To be fair, though, I don't think Jesse has ever shown any interest in developing James Pantemis as a number one or a goalkeeper who's going to compete for the number one, playing this specific high tempo, really aggressive style where you're asking your goalkeeper to play a high line and to really cover your back line. I don't think he sees James Pantemis as a profile who slots into that. So I don't think, like, all the shouts that you're seeing here, like Pantemis, to your point, has to feel gutted that he's never gotten like a realistic chance with Marsh because of how, like, the form that he's in, how well he's performing, because he is not even arguably, he has been the best Canadian goalkeeper in MLS, even though St. Clair won goalkeeper of the year last year. Like, I think you could make an argument that Pantemis and pushing Crapo out at Portland has done really well and been the most consistent. But I think it was always Pantemis trying to push either Crapo or St. Clair out. It wasn't Pantemis as the third. I think the nod to Goodman, even though he's playing, as you said, third tier at Barnsley, he is the goalkeeper of the future. So his inclusion and part of the push for these dual nationals, so he was moved over to Canada officially in the fall, a lot of work, according to Josh Cloak in The Athletic, in the article that he wrote that went in depth on Goodman, was that it came from him. Like, he was highly motivated to become a Canadian citizen so he could be part of this experiment, this project, this roster. So he is the goalkeeper for the next cycle. So I think he is always going to be the third one, and Pantemis was never going to push him out because it was Pantemis versus Crapo and St. Clair, and he wasn't going to unseat either of those guys.
Mm-hmm. Do you think it was a mistake for Jesse Marsh to name his top two goalkeepers so early, saying, these are my two guys, there's no one else, basically. These are my two guys, I'm going to pick a start out of these two guys. When there were some interesting names, you know, in that whole conversation, from Pantemis to back then Tom McGill, you know, I'm sure Goodman was on the radar at that point before he committed. But Jesse straight away said, nope, it's going to be Max or it's going to be Dane.
Yeah, Searwell was in the mix as well.
Searwell, exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you think maybe if he could do it again, he wouldn't have committed to those two guys quite as early as he did?
I'm not sure. I don't know if it would have changed anything.
As a player, though, like, you must like knowing that you're already in the mix, whether you're up or down and you have something to strive for. Because it's easier. There's so much opportunity to not feel that stress, but to kind of focus in, correct?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. No, it's a nice fuzzy feeling.
Yeah, to know you're valued and you're wanted, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's wonders for confidence.
Let me ask you this, Craig, goalkeeper. So Owen Goodman's been with the camp for the last week or so. You know, he's been the goalkeeper. He's got lots of minutes on the training pitch in front of Jesse Marsh. So Marsh knows him now better than he ever has. Say he's been really good in training. In come Max and Dane, and they're shocking. Their confidence is clearly shot. They're just not good, not training well.
Is a great narrative, Charms. This is great.
Well, listen, it's not possible, is it?
Yeah.
I was going to ask Craig the same thing. Good question.
Yeah. Thank you, Jimmy. Yeah. If they were shocking, I don't think this is going to be the case. I don't think they're going to come in and be shocking. But they've got good heads on their shoulders and they're quite confident, obviously, with and self-belief is there. And just, you know, being in contact with Max Crapo over the last few months and how he's dealing with that situation and just trying to worry about his own job and trying to make the team better at the same time, steps in the right direction, all these different things. Orlando's a team that struggles defensively. They give up a ton of chances, and that's still the case. But he can't, you know, it's out of his control when you're at a club like that, and he's dealt with that quite well. So I don't think that would be the case where they're going to really suck when they come into training or anything like that. But if it was the case, you know, maybe there could be a change. I just don't see that happening at this point with the lack of playing time with the squad that Goodman's had or hasn't had. So that's got to be a big factor. I mean, hopefully whoever goes in goal, there's no changes for the rest of the tournament, because that would mean they're playing really well. Right. If they see changes, that's going to be a problem, because the goalkeeper is not standing on his head. And we need somebody to stand on his head. And then really looking at all of them, their saves percentage per shots are, you know, 60%, 57%. Like, it's not brilliant. It's not 75, 80%. That's for sure.
I'm not worried about Max in particular. He pulls on that Canada kit and he is reliable. He's convincing and he has the confidence of the guys in front of him. His head's screwed on right. And you like, there's a switch that gets flipped as soon as he's in that Canada camp. So obviously the best case scenario would be massive, you know, a string of clean sheets and playing behind a great defensive team so that he's flying high. But it's not the case for either of these two guys who are battling for the gloves. But I have full confidence in Max, and I think that's who's going to get the net versus Bosnia.
What about Ireland and Uzbekistan? Warm-up games. Do you go with your guy for both those games, or is it still a battle?
I think it might still be a battle. I don't know if that, again, is like ideal heading into a World Cup. But if you want to push the competition and you're not sure, you haven't made the choice up until this point when Jesse Marsh said that he wanted to decide back in the fall, right? That last window, or that it would be upcoming, still hasn't made the decision. So if he needs to be convinced, then why not use everything at your disposal? And that includes these two warm-up games before the World Cup.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they could be really important for both for all the goalkeepers, whoever gets the nod there, that who plays well in those warm-up games might be the deciding factor.
Sharms and I are on a dark web chat too with Asa Rahman, and Asa said, "I hate all this hand-holding," paraphrasing, "with the goalkeepers." He goes, "I want to see them dislike each other." He goes, "I'm tired of all this, supporting each other. I want to hear some vitriol." And I'm like, I kind of feel the same way.
Should we read out his official warm take? Asa's
This is
the dark web, right? It's all private. We shouldn't be doing this. This is like, you know.
Sorry, Asa, but we're outing you. Yeah.
We're basically showing Asa's nudes to the public here.
Yeah.
But he won't care. And he'll defend himself later this.
That's right.
You don't want to see nude Asa, Dubs? No. Look in your face there.
I don't. Okay. I don't want to see Asa
with his nice smile. Just nude and smiling.
Yeah. Oh, he's a never nude. He's wearing jean shorts.
Jorts? I bet he's a big jorts guy. Asa will join us later this week at some point, and he can defend himself with the jorts argument, and also defending this take. He's loving the keeper debate overall. He says, "My warm take is that they shouldn't take both Crapaud and Dane. I don't like that they're so supportive of each other.
Yeah.
Only one can play. Stop holding hands." Love it. Damn right, Asa.
I also think
nicey.
With all the moving pieces, everything that's unpredictable because of the injuries and the nature of the rest of the squad, there is some predictability about these two guys. Yes, you still haven't made a decision about your number one, but you're not switching one of them out at this point. It's just not happening.
No, I know. They're not, are they? I mean, that'd be a massive call on Jesse Marsh's part.
Yeah.
Owen Goodman gets a start in the first match. Massive call. I'd love it.
Would you?
Conversation piece. Well, no, not necessarily. I think both Dane and Max can do the job. Of course, I do. But just from a media content standpoint, which is purely selfish. Don't roll your eyes. Well, you're in the media.
No, I'm not. I was agreeing. I'm like, oh yeah, I see that angle for sure.
It'd be imagine the conversation around that. Anyway, listen. Let's get to our really big question. All right, it centers around kind of the squad.
And, do I need to cue it up?
No. Yeah. Oh, did you write it up?
Yeah.
Do you have it, Wong, or do you want me to get it?
Oh, sorry, I didn't. I wasn't prepared.
I'll get it. Hang on.
Okay. Keep talking, Sharms.
So obviously the 30-man squad's been announced today. I have Pantemis on this list, but it's not now. But roll it, Wonger.
Actually, Dubs.
One, two, three, four.
Ring, ring, what's that sound? The big question that needs answering.
What was the question again?
All right, so the question is, the really big take. Out of the bubble players, these are three bubble players, guys that wouldn't be a massive shock whether they're on or off the squad. Which one has to be on the squad? Okay, you got to pick one that has to be on the squad out of Joel Waterman, Junior Hoilett, and Dan Jeppesen. None of them are cemented in this squad at this point for various reasons. They all probably deserve to be on there. But in my squad, for example, I've got a lot of defenders, which kicks Jeppesen out, which is probably unfair. I've only got four strikers. I think Dubs too, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. But out of those three, Waterman, Hoilett, and Jeppesen, who has to be in the squad? Jimmy?
I would like to say Junior, but because of the situation, I'm going to say Waterman. Waterman has to be there. We need him as a center back.
Would you pick him over Ralph Prieser at this point?
Look, I'm a big fan of Ralph Prezo. Keep saying it. He has to be in this squad for me. So I would have Cornelius, Bambiro, De Frugerol, Prezo, and Waterman.
So Jones gets bumped.
Yeah, I mean, he hasn't played all season, right? I can't see how they bring him in. What's that?
It was Boxing Day, right? So he's missed, and it should have been 2 months, they said, and it's been, well, four or five months.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I understand that I understand he hasn't even put weight on his leg yet. Like, I think he's not even close to being fit.
Really?
Yeah.
So why is he even
in the squad? I could be wrong, but that's what I've heard.
Yeah. You wonder if that's the case, why is he in the 30-man squad? Not as if he's going to, if he can't put weight in it, listen, we don't know. Craig heard that. Let's not confirm it's
true. I mean, if he was at all fit, he would have been involved in the game against Hull for the championship game, right?
Yeah. Yeah. No. Okay. So Jimmy has Joel Waterman has to be in the squad for that reason. Craig?
I like that Waterman show for sure. I'll change up. I'll go with Hoylett just because of his experience and his ability to come on, and he's still got legs enough to be able to change games and add a little bit going forward when you need to be. So I'll say Junior Hoylett.
Yeah, it's a good show. And the thing is, it's delivery as well, which is needed.
That's true. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're always looking for that special quality, right? That'll make you a lock on a team sheet or on a roster. And that could be it for Hoylett. But for me, if you're looking at that versatility piece and then also the leadership, what you're going to lend the squad, especially off the pitch, and you don't expect to get a lot of minutes, I gave the nod to my roster to Oso over Hoylett. And I know they're not a like-for-like similar profiles necessarily, but if I'm Jesse Marsh and just the way that Oso has performed this last couple of years or this last season specifically, I gave the nod to Oso. But per your question, I left Jebison off my roster. I'm not going to give the nod to Hoylett for the reason I just mentioned. So I also gave it to Waterman. So I think that he's really trusted by Jesse Marsh. A lot of people are like, the game's passed him by, much like it has for Kamal Miller. But I think that he's a really smart player. He also has the ability, like a Ralph Prezo, maybe doesn't have the same pace as Prezo, but you can slot him into the midfield if need be, if you want to make some tactical tweaks. That's where he started playing, and he's played minutes there in MLS for CF Montreal, not necessarily at Chicago for Berhalter. But he has that versatility where you can slot him in. And also, he's really well-liked in the squad. So you have the trust of your coach, you're well-liked by your teammates, and you can be slotted in and be trusted in big moments to maybe see a game out.
How important are training players, guys that probably aren't going to see the pitch in anger at a World Cup? You've got 26 players, they're not going to see the pitch, Jimmy, but how important is to have guys on the training pitch against those starters that know their job and know their role?
Yeah, they're not training players, right? So they're players that deserve to be in the squad, that have a chance of getting onto the pitch. But it is important that, the standards remain high and everybody understands, okay, the manager's picked this starting 11. We've all got to play a role now to make sure that tactically we're right. When we do set pieces, we do it right. And the one thing you can't have is sulking. Oh, I didn't get picked. And all of a sudden now, you're playing 11v11, working on tactical shape and shadow playing. And all of a sudden guys are, not involved because they're not in the starting 11. So the role is massive for the guys that aren't playing. It really is, because they've got to chip in and provide the right atmosphere to make sure that everybody's successful here. You can't have any passengers. If you got passengers, you're in trouble. Everybody's got to be on the same page.
It is amazing that we're just 4 days away from knowing this squad. We've been talking about this for years, pretty much since they left Qatar, right?
Yeah.
What the makeup of that squad looks like, and obviously since Jesse took over in particular. Copa America, the highs, then the lows of the Gold Cup, Nations League,
and now John Herdman. Excuse me, John Herdman. You was the coach 4 years ago.
You get emotional there, Wong.
I was breaking up for John. were any of you surprised about Kamal Miller or Theo Bear being left out of this 30-man roster? Or is that
bear a little bit?
Me too.
More than Miller. Miller just bit his hamstring, right? So, and I think Kamal, with respect to the guy, he showed the lack of pace in the last Canada experience, right?
Iceland, yeah,
the friendlies, yeah. Mm. Yep. And just the way Jesse plays, you have to have pace at the back. You have to.
Yeah.
Whereas Bear,
faster with his Zimmer frame.
Wait, what? But
I think that Bear left out.
Maybe faster with his Zimmer frame.
But don't you think Bear being left out just suggests that Promise is very close?
Yes.
I think if there's no chance of Promise being available, no chance, then Theo Bear's in this 30-man squad.
Yeah,
because I think nobody's like Promise, but the comparable profiles and what they can offer you. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll see. Friday. We'll see.
Hey, I just wanted to mention, too, I was once again doom scrolling last night, and a couple of people, this is the first Canadian ever to play in the Premier League. Someone obviously young, and a bunch of our supporters jumped in. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Talked about Craig, talked about Jimmy, talked about Daltieri, even though I don't know if Paul played in the Prem. Did he play in the Prem?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah,
he
played for Spurs and Fulham.
Spurs, right.
He may have played more games outside. Who's played the most games in the Prem for a Canadian player? Is it Craig or would it
Forrest,
be?
Forrest or Rzinski?
Rzinski.
Yeah. Threw out Rzinski. Yeah. But it was just funny Everton how our supporters and people of our Canadian ilk started jumping in and giving stats. And they were like, these people played this. So thank you for the defense, everybody. Footy Prime.
So some people were saying he's going to be the first Canadian in the Premier League?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But it was Jesus obviously... Christ.
You got to have your head up your ass.
Going to go after these people.
Craig gets internet. Why?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, I don't know if you guys are noticing this, but I am, as we get closer, I'm talking to a lot of people who don't watch soccer really, but are beginning to, as sports fans, and they've all got a lot of opinions about Canada and how they're going to do. Like, they could barely name a player, but easy group, right? No. Yeah. That's what I keep hearing more and more. It's an easy group. They're so fortunate to be in this group.
Mm-hmm.
Not saying they shouldn't get out of the group, but it ain't easy.
Yeah.
No.
I just wanted to say, kind of off the back of Jimmy's comments and training players and how important it is for players to know eyes wide open what their role is going to be. And obviously things might shift and you have to stay ready to jump in if there's injuries or, you know, things go pear-shaped. But the reason why these rosters are getting leaked is because coaches, managers are having conversations with players that are honest and they're tough and they're reality checks for a lot of these players. And then they're emotional about it. They're let down, they're crushed. They're having conversations with families, with agents, and other people and friends. And then that's why it's getting leaked. But Jesse Marsh, in advance of, that's why we know about Bear, we know about Kamal Miller, but in advance of this roster reveal, he will have had really hard conversations with a lot of players whose hopes he will have dashed. And that is really crushing for the player. But it's about how you respond to it. And for a player who's included on the roster, that will also be a reality check oftentimes, where it's like, you're not going to be used a whole lot, but I need you to do this. This is what is important off the pitch. This is what I'm looking for you to do. Like, you have to replicate, you know, like the big bodies in the box for Bosnia off of set pieces or crosses. Like, I need you to do this in training so that our guys are ready and prepared. And then if you're on board and you respond well, you've got a great attitude, you're going to help Canada have success.
What happened to Ike Ugbo? Remember that name?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. When he announced that he was going to be a call-up, it came with some fanfare. And then remember he turned down the chance to play in one camp? He said no for personal reasons.
Yeah.
And there hasn't been seen or heard from since.
Very interesting.
Interesting.
So Sharm's going to ask you on our way out, who was the biggest roster reveal eliminated person? Sorry, that was a really awkward question.
Oh, again.
England. Who surprised you?
Squad, by the way. Who surprised me?
That was off the team, yeah.
Cole Palmer, Phil Foden, Harry Maguire.
Can you imagine getting that call from Tuchel? You're not German. Sorry.
We try to hit that every pod.
Yeah. But I didn't do it last time. You guys did.
Cole Palmer would probably be the one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because Phil Foden's been left off a couple of squads.
Morgan Gibbs-White by a mile. How is he not? 15 goals, 7 assists. Yeah. One of the best players in the Premier League. You're telling me that guy is not in the squad? Come on. That for me was a no-brainer. What he brings, the energy, the way he sees the game. No, I'm sorry. That was bullshit. And not because I'm a Forrest fan, but because of the player. No, listen, if Morgan Gibbs White was another club and the way that he plays, no, I think they needed him.
That's a good shout.
Well, I mean, Jordan Henderson gets in there, a guy that might not play very much, but brings the intangibles, which Tuchel obviously weighs very heavily. Or this squad lacks so much leadership that you need to have a Jordan Henderson because he's taken the spot of a Morgan Gibbs White or a Phil Foden or, you know, Cole Palmer. Ballsy choice. So it's refreshing, though, honestly, as an England fan, to see an England coach not give a shit about name value and just, you know, we're going to go for the best team, the best squad.
Yeah. He'll be fired.
You talk about that a lot. Yeah. Tuchel was mentioning that.
Yeah.
The team, who works well as a team. So we'll see. Massive pressures for managers are, you know, I mean, England are always have plenty of players that are on the cusp that a lot of people think they should be part of it. So, you know, you live and die by your decisions.
Yeah. If England lose that first game, watch out.
It's Croatia, right? It could happen. It's Croatia. Yeah. Could definitely happen. Oh, we've got official broadcast teams here from TSN.
Do you want to share them?
There's Jimmy Brennan.
Interesting names on that list.
Yeah.
People you know?
They certainly are. All right. Milan Bojan. Ooh. He'll be good, actually. But he'll spout his mouth. He won't care if he offends.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Might have a smoke on the panel.
Yeah. Asmir Begovic. Well, okay. Anyway, that's Footy Prime. Footy Prime is brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary. Until next time, everyone. Cheers for listening.
Footy Prime is brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary. Check us out on YouTube at youtube.com/footyprime and subscribe. Leave us some comments. We'd love to hear those. And check us out on Instagram at footyprimeig and on Twitter at footy_prime. And check out wearefootyprime.com. Sign up for our newsletter.
I'm going to go drink now.
Yes.
Maybe.
Stop recording.